Today she is Masech Techul and Daf Yudalev. We will begin on Daf Yudalev and Aleph at the Mishnah Tapet Amid. Says the Mishnah Shechet B'Shabbos of Yom Kippurim. If somebody shechts on Shabbos on Yom Kippur, which obviously that's not permitted, Apish Mischai B'Nafshoi, even though for what he has just done, he's Chayv Misop, for Chil Shabbos, he's Chayv Skila if he did it, B'Mezit, for shechting on Yom Kippur, there's a chiv chorus. Still, the halacha is shchitasa ksheira. The shchita is considered a valid shchita. And of course, all the Rishonim asked the obvious question, as we learned earlier on Daf Hey Amar Aleph, an individual who's a mechal Shabbos beferesia is considered a mumel chalatayra kula. And since such a person is considered a mumel chalatayra kula, shchitasa psula, his shchita is disqualified. So how can we allow, they ask, this shchita? The Rambam says indeed that the case that we're speaking about, our Mishnah, is speaking about when the shchita was done b'shogeg. But indeed, if the shchita would have been done b'mezid, the shchita would anyway be possible. We have to see if that works with what we're going to learn in the Gemara, how the Gemara establishes the pshat in our Mishnah. Tosfos explains that when we speak of Muma L'chal Shabbos is considered a Muma L'chal HaTorah Kula, it's only in a case where he's M'chal Shabbos B'Faresia. Our Mishnah is not the case where he did it B'Faresia. Another teretz that Tosfos suggests is that a person becomes a Mumer by being M'chal Shabbos, as we're learning, considered a Muma L'chal HaTorah Kula, it's only if he did it a number of times. If he only did it once, he doesn't become a mumer. And that's going to be how Tosfos explains. We have to understand our Mishnah. It's the first time that he did it. Another pshat that the Ran suggests is that the person doesn't become a mumer till he finishes the entire shchita. Because even though he obviously wounded the animal at the beginning of the act of Shrita, that's not considered a malacha deraisa, because just wounding an animal is considered makalkal, and the halacha is that a makalkal is not considered a mechal Shabbos. And therefore, indeed, at the end of the Shrita, when he finishes the Shrita, during the week, he can no longer be a shaykhet during the week. But as far as this specific act of Shchita, as far as this specific act of Shchita, there's room for leniency, because if we look at the act of Shchita, the act of Shchita didn't really become an act until the animal was ready, slaughtered. The Chiddush that said the Rishonim of our Mishnah is that our Mishnah is teaching us a most interesting din, and that is that even though somebody could be Chayv Misa, the halacha is that doesn't change under the circumstances, as we learned, that it's not considered that the Shechit is possible. And even though it's such a severe act that he's going to be Chayv Misa, it doesn't affect the kashrus of the Shechita. Another way, the Bechor Shor says that the Chiddush of our Mishnah is that even though the Shechita was done at a time where Shechita, under normal circumstances, of course, may not be done, that isn't a disqualifying factor in a shechita. With Mitzvashem, we're going to learn Masechta Temura, Daf Dalet, the beginning of the Masechta, there's a very important machlokes of Abaye Verava that discusses Kol Mil Sadam Rachmana Loi Savedi Ovid Mahani or Yovid Loi Mahani. If somebody does something which the Torah says may not be done, what is the halacha if he violated and he did it? Is that act have any halachic validity or not? Abaye says, Yovid Mahani, that if he did it, it still has halachic validity. And Rava's opinion is, Yovid Loi Mahani. So the Marajdam asks, according to the opinion that Rava just taught us, the Kol Mil Sadam Rachmana Loi Savedi Yovid Loi Mahani, that anything the Torah tells us not to do, if we did it, it has no halachic validity. So obviously, as we're learning, we're not supposed to do a shechita on Shabbos and Yom Kippur. So why would Rava allow for that shechita? says the Shach that when Rava tells us that rule, he only tells us regarding an Avera, which can never be done beheter. The example, which is, that's why it's taught in Masechta Temura, the Torah says, lo yamirenu, that one may not make a Temura, v'm hama yamar, and if one does make a Temura, for Yehu usmerasa yakadish, the original animal and the substitute animal akasha. There's never a case where Temura is permissible. That's why Rava says it's an example of kamil sadam rachman alay sabri avalay mahani. But when we talk about shechita, of course shechita may not be done on Shabbos and Yom Kippur, but during the week, shechita is perfectly fine. That isn't such an example. The Marit has a different approach. The Marit says that where do we apply the concept of kamil sadam rachman alay sabri avalay mahani is if by making it not valid, we will have prevented the Avera. For example, again, the example of the Temura. The Temura, if we're going to declare that Temura is not a valid transaction, so then the halacha is we save this person from doing an Avera. But when we say, when we speak about Shechita, by saying Kol Muslim Rechman Alei Savri Avela Mahani, that will have not undone the Chil Shabbos that already occurred by doing the Shechita. And therefore, that's not the case that we say that rule. The Sefer B'nei Chaya says that where we apply the rule of Kol Muslim Rechman Alei Savri Avalei Mahani, that's only is when the actual act that's taking place is Osir. But when the actual act is not Osir, it's only the circumstances that make it Osir, there we don't say this. So we think about Temura. By Temura, the actual act of Temura is an Avera. But when we talk about Shechita, it's the actual act of Shechita, of course, is not problematic. It's the fact that it took place on Shabbos. And therefore, it can't be, it's not a situation of Kol Muslim Rechman Alei Savri Avalei Mahani. Shara Melech has a different approach based on what we're going to learn in the Gemara, actually. The Pasuk says, V'shmartem s'Shabbos ki kodesh yilachem. From there we learn, he kodesh, that Shabbos is a day kodesh, v'emaseh kodesh. Says the Shara Melech, that we learn from this is that even though Shabbos was violated, it doesn't disqualify the act. But here, it doesn't disqualify, here, the, and that's why there's a special rule by Chil Shabbos, that even though an Aveira was done, it doesn't disqualify what was done. Another pshat that Rav Kivega suggests, that where do we say this rule? When the Torah is, when somebody's trying to make a chalois, if somebody's trying to affect the transaction, and the Torah says that if it's not a halachically valid transaction, so then the halacha is that it's the transaction, or whatever it's supposed to make happen, doesn't happen. But here, it's not a question of a transaction. It's a question of a maisa. And therefore, when something that depends on a maisa, we don't say this. And there are many variations of this teretz. The Rebbe Chanan says that something that depends on a person's das to make it effective, taking truma, taking maiser, which is dependent on the person's intention, there we could say Ovid Loi Mahani. But something which is a fact, and I saw the Yad HaMelech says this word, it's a situation where what happened can't be undone. In a case where it's a fact and it's not a chalois, where it's something that can't be undone, there we don't apply the concept of Kamal Sadam Rahman Alay Savid Loi Mahani. I saw that the, as we said earlier, when we asked that this person who is Michal Shabbos, why should he not be considered a mumer, which would disqualify, why should he not be considered a mumer, which will disqualify his shechita? So he said that somebody did this only becomes a mumer after he finished the shechita. I saw that this concept that we said, there are those that suggest, could actually be used to answer a question that the Chizkuni asks. The Chizkuni asks, the Pasuk says, V'shem soysay tishmeru, samach shmir Shabbos l'mayra af. The Torah put the din of shmir Shabbos next to the halacha of Kibra V'aim to teach us that even though, says Rashi, af b'shem ticha l'mayra af, even though I've told you you have to respect and follow what your parents say, if your parent will tell you l'chalas or Shabbos to be l'chalas Shabbos, al tishmalai, and that's the halacha by all mitzvahs. So ask the Chizkuni, if a father tells a child Rechman Slon to be l'chalas Shabbos, the father is now an ena oisa ma'isa amcha, and the Gemara Masechta Yevamos Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis teaches us that the only time there's an obligation of kibra ve'ein is in a situation if the father's oisa ma'isa amcha. But here, the father is not a person who's doing what the halacha dictates. He's telling his children to be mechal Shabbos. So there's no kibra of ve'ein anyway. He says, so he explains, based on the shach that we just learned, that when does the father fall into the category of Eina Oysa Masa Amcha? The father would only fall into that category after the son was Mechal Shabbos. Like we said in our Gemara, he would only be considered a mumer after the Chil Shabbos took place. So that means at the time he gave his child that directive, he was still an Oysa Masa Amcha, and therefore the exemption, because he's an Eina Oysa Masa Amcha, would not be applicable. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna, Darsh Chi Barab Shmei the Rav. The halach is that even though our Mishnah told us that if somebody does Shchita B'Shabbos, the Shchita is a valid Shchita, but still says the Gemara, Asur B'Chila L'Yoyma. That meat that was slaughtered on Shabbos may not be eaten. And the Nazma Chaveri L'Meyma, and now the Gemara wants to teach us whose opinion is this, and says the Gemara, as we're going to be spending time now, the Gemara suggests it's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara, and the Rashi explains, from where does Rav take that we're only saying that the meat may not be eaten that day? He says, the way Rashi explains and other Rishonim and Achronim amplify that is based on the Mishnah saying that the Shechita took place on Shabbos or on Yom Kippur. And the obvious question is, and we said this when we explained the Mishnah, being Mechal Shabbos is a much bigger aver than being Mechal Yom Kippur. So why does the Mishnah have to mention the case of Yom Kippur and the case of Shabbos? To teach us that on Yom Kippur it's obvious we're not allowed to eat the meat that day. It's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur we're not allowed to eat. And the Mishnah is coming to teach us that just like on Yom Kippur, we would not be allowed to eat that meat, so too, the day that the meat was slaughtered on Shabbos, we may not slaughter the meat. But then, there's another question. And that is, we know that the halacha is that we're not allowed to eat meat until we salt the meat to extract the blood, which melicha is not allowed to be done on Shabbos. So, of course, we can't eat the meat on Shabbos, even when it was slaughtered on Shabbos, because there's a problem that we can't do melicha. So, different mefarshim give different examples of parts of the animal. We're going to learn a mitzvah shem, hilchas melicha, of parts of the animal that may be eaten without melicha. But there's another, much more fundamental way of answering this question. The halacha is that if the meat, if the dam was not pirish, if the meat that you're eating, and obviously you're eating it raw, the blood has remained there all the time, then that blood is not usur. Yes, the halacha will require that we have to rinse the meat for everything that's outside of that piece of meat, but the actual piece of meat may be eaten, without salting, and therefore that's not a concern in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. So the Gemara identified at this point that who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. asking my hey, Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, Amar Rab Abba, Rabbi Yehuda, the Chachani. The Chazal taught us that Muksar is Osir on Shabbos. The fundamental definition of Muksar is something that wasn't prepared to be used from Shabbos, for on Shabbos, from before Shabbos. And the word Muksa, the definition of the word Muksa, means that it was set aside. There are very, as we're going to see, different types of Muksa. There's Muksa Machmas Gufoy, something that doesn't really have any use on Shabbos. Muksa Machmas Saron Kis, somebody because of its value or because of its use, sets it aside. Muksa Machmas Mias, Muksa Machmas Isser, something that using it involves doing an Isser. And these are the categories of Muksa. And we're going to reference the Gemara Masech Tabeya, Gemara Masech Tabsochim, that teaches us the Machlokes of Yehuda and Shimon, where we say Muksa. And Rabbi Yehuda has a much stricter interpretation of Muksa. And Rabbi Shimon has a more lenient interpretation. So again, says the Gemara, Amar Rab Abba, who's the Rabbi Yehuda that was saying is the Tana of our Mishnah? It's Rabbi Yehuda Dachonihi. The Tana and the Mishnah Masech the Shabbos says, Mechatrin Adalum of Fnei Behema, we're allowed to cut up a cucumber for an animal on Shabbos, that it should be able to eat it. What we're saying is that here we're speaking about that they're detached, and we're allowed to cut them up on Shabbos. The hasnavel of neklovim, we're allowed to cut up an animal that died, that if it died by itself on Shabbos, we could cut it up to serve it to an animal. But Rabbi Yehudaimer, im lahayis nevela be'erev Shabbos, if the animal was not an avela before Shabbos, then it wasn't intended to be used as animal food to give it to the dog, and therefore lefish enem nemuchim, it wasn't considered something that's prepared for use on Shabbos, and the halacha is that since it wasn't prepared for use on Shabbos, it's muksa. And as Rashi explains, based on the Gemara at the beginning of Masechta Beyah, that even if the animal died on Shabbos, the halacha is that this animal at the beginning of Shabbos, at the onset of Shabbos, was not prepared. There is a machloikis in Masechta Beyah, actually later in the Masechta, that Chav Zayim Beis, as we've been saying, Reb Shimon has a more lenient view towards Muksa. How do we understand Reb Shimon's opinion? One opinion is that Reb Shimon also was only lenient on an animal that was sick before Shabbos. And since the animal was sick before Shabbos, there was an intention, an expectation that this animal will die on Shabbos. And therefore, Reb Shimon says it's not Muksa because he was expecting this to happen. But if indeed, says the Gemara there, the animal was a perfectly healthy animal, even Reb Shimon will agree that it's Muksa on Shabbos. The other opinion says that no. According to Reb Shimon, anything that can become usable on Shabbos is not Muksa. And since, as we're learning, if this animal is going to die, it's going to be used for animal food, that's enough that it shouldn't be muksa. Alma, it says the Gemara, kiven delay itkami esmail, whenever we have a situation that an animal wasn't prepared for use on Shabbos, it's osur. Hachinami, when we speak about the animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos, kiven delay itkami esmail, it wasn't slaughtered before Shabbos, so it wasn't prepared to be eaten on Shabbos. That's why Rabbi Yehuda's opinion will be that it's going to be muksa on Shabbos. How will Rav Shimon explain this Gemara? So according to the interpretation, that Rav Shimon is lenient only by an animal with an animal that was sick, he's going to have to explain that the Mishnah is speaking about a sick animal, but a healthy animal, he would agree with Rav Shimon. Another explanation that Chazon Ish offers is that this person has in his home a cheresh shoyt of a cotton who are not careful about shechita on Shabbos, and therefore this person is anticipating that they may shecht it. Rekiv Eger says a similar approach. Rekiv Eger's approach is that this person heard that there were people who were getting prepared or planning to shecht this animal on Shabbos, and therefore, in his mind, it wasn't muktzeh, it wasn't set aside for Shabbos. Amar Abaye, to which Abaye says, "Mi dami, how could we compare what we're learning in our Mishnah to what Rabbi Yehuda said? Hasam, the animal that became an avela on Shabbos, the reason is, mikar muchen la'adam, the animal was not meant for animal food, for hashtub, and now that the animal died, it became an avela, it can't be consumed by people, it's muchen la'klovin. And therefore, since says Rabbi Yehuda, the definition of muchan tells us that since it wasn't going to be eaten on Shabbos, it's muksa. Hacha, when we speak about the animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos, mikara muchan l'adam, it was meant to be eaten by people. We're not talking about an avela. And hashta muchan l'adam. So ask the Gemara, why would Rabbi Yehuda consider that? Why would Rabbi Yehuda consider that muksa? Answers Rabbi Abba, he says, you're assuming that the animal, as long as it's live, is designated for human consumption. There, the behemoth is not for that, that's not the intention of that animal. The intention of a live animal is legadla medis. The aloch is that what they did with those animals was they used them to breed children. So therefore, that's the purpose for the animal. And now on Shabbos, where it became an avela or was slaughtered, it's now changing what it's meant to be. It's going from being something that's meant to breed children to food. Ask the Gemara, if that's your approach, Ihachi, the halacha of course is that on Yontif, we're allowed to shecht an animal. But now the question is, there's still hilchos muksa on Yontif. And therefore, the question that comes up is, Behemel Rabbi Yehuda b'yontif, heichich shechtinen, how can we slaughter an animal on Yontif? At the beginning of Yontif, we're saying that the purpose of a live animal is to raise children. Others throw in the factor that it's there to work with. And now, you want to make it to food. And therefore, that's considered taking something which was designated for one purpose, was muchen, and now you want to use it for food, why wouldn't that be a violation of muksa? Amalai, says the Gemara, a medis lachilav, a medis legadl. He says, when we look at an animal is here for one of two purposes. It could be eaten or could breed children. If the animal was slaughtered on Yontif, hovera, that proves the lachilav medis, that this animal was an animal that was always meant lachila. So now when we're using it on Yontif lachila, it doesn't represent a change of status. And on the other hand, loy nishkata, if we didn't shecht that animal on Yontif, so that's hovera, that it shows the legadloy medis, that it's meant to raise children, it's not meant for food. But when we shecht it, it shows us retroactively that the purpose of this animal is for food. But ask the Gemara, so we now identified a new concept, and that's the concept of Breira, retroactive designation. We shecht the animal on Yontif, and that proves that that animal was always meant to be food. But ask the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't subscribe to the concept of Breira. Ask the Gemara Manolan, from where do we know this halacha? Ilayim Meditanya. The halacha is that, as we spoke earlier in the Masechta, there are the Kutim. The Kutim were a nation that were brought from Kuta to Yisrael. As we learned, their strategy was, as they captured countries, they would bring population from one country to another country. They were non-Jews. But at that time, Eretz Yisrael, as the Pasuk in Malachim teaches us, psukim in that Malachim teach us that the soul is actually, unfortunately, desolate, and animals inhabit Eretz Yisrael, and the Kutim were very afraid of those animals, and therefore they became Gerim, they converted. And we often have in Shas the Machloikis, are the Kutim Geri Emes, are they considered sincere? Was it a sincere Geris and they're therefore Jewish? Or the Kutsuf Kutim Geri Arroyus, they only did it out of fear. So explains the Ramban that our Gemara is following the opinion that Kutim are Geri Emes. And therefore, we're allowed to drink the wine, but there's a chiyuv of truma and of truma emaisa. Even though the Gemara teaches us, and we spoke about this earlier in our Masechta, that we're not allowed to drink the wine of the Kutim, our Mishnah says our Gemara that we're speaking about is speaking about before that rule was enacted that we're not allowed to drink the wine of Kutim. The Ramban also tells us that there was another chumrah about Kutim that was there from the outset. We often speak in Shas about the Aloch of the Mai. And the Aloch of the Mai tells us that if we buy produce from the Amoritz, we have to be concerned if the Amoritz took off Trumas and Maestris. But the Aloch is the only thing that we have to actually take off is the Trumas Meiser. Because the Aloch is Truma, which is a small percentage, we could rely, Mideraisa, Chita Achas Pateras Sakri, we could rely that the Amoritz took off the Truma. When we speak about Meiser Rishon or Meiser Ani, the Aloch is that Hamoitz Mechaver Olvaraya. So the Ani, or the Levi, had to be able to prove that the Amoritz did not take off Trumas and Meisers. The only thing that we have to be machmer on is Trumas Meiser, which means 10% of the Meiserishin that's given to the Levi has to be given to the Kohen. That has the same halacha of Truma, that there's a Chiv Misa if you eat it without taking. And that's where the halacha is, that you have to take off the Mai, even though Roiv Ami Oretz Ma'asim Heim. But it's really being done just out of a suffix. However, says the Ramban, when we speak about Kutim, we have to be much stricter. Because as we've been saying throughout our Masechta, the Kutim had a different interpretation of Lifnei Ivel Oseita Mikshol. And their interpretation is, as the Pasuk says, we're not to put down a stumbling block. They're giving somebody to eat something which is not permissible to them. They don't find that problematic. So therefore, if they're selling wine, the halacha is, we who buy that wine have to take off all the trumas and maestras as normal. And as the Rishonim point out, the case that's being referred to here is that this happened by Bein HaShemashos Friday afternoon. And the halacha is that on Shabbos, we're not allowed to take off trumas and maestras. Taking off trumas and maestras is considered an act of taking, of fixing, and we're not allowed to do that. So now I have this barrel, and I can't easily separate as normally is the case in the halacha. What should I do? So he says, I'm a shnei lugim shnei osu lahafrish. Two, we have a hundred, we start with 100 lugim. Two of these lugim, which is 1/50th, which is all the Rishonim explain, that even though, as we said, the halacha is chita achas pateras kri, one chita is enough. Chazal gave shiurim, a 40th, a 50th, and a 60th, a 40th for a generous person, a 50th for your average person, a 60th for a stingy person. Mishnah speaking about a person who is typical, so we take off two lugim for as the truma. Then we take off a sora for Meiser Rishon. And as Tosfos points out, it's not really 10. Because we started with 100 gallons, we took off two for truma. So now we're down to 98. So really the number is 9.8. But the Tosfos says the Gemara is rounding off. Others explain what the Gemara means not to say we take off 10%, is we take from what we're left over 10%. Matisha is Maaseh Sheni, and now we have to take Maaseh Sheni, which again, we're down to 90, really, and then from that 90, we take off another 10% from Maaser Sheni or Mechel. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, what is the definition of Mechel? Rashi says the definition of Mechel is that you now could drink Mechel. You've done what you have to do, and now you could start drinking this wine. Tosfos says that we recognize that this entire approach of taking Trumas and Maisus, as we're going to be learning in the Gemara, is not a really L'chatchila Degar approach. And since it's not really an approach that we should follow L'chatchila, therefore it says Tosfos that the Halach is that Maaser Sheni could be redeemed. So since, says Tosfos, the Halach is that Maaser Sheni could be redeemed, and that doesn't involve doing an act of Chil Shabbos, so that's why Tosfos says that's what you should do. And then, v'shoyis miyad, now we could drink. Divrei Meir. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Oisrim, they're all the opinion that you may not do this. Says the Gemara. So assumes the Gemara that why do they take this strict approach? That this approach is based on Breira. That after Shabbos, when we're going to go with the Kohen, what we're supposed to give the Kohen, and give the Levi, and give the Oni, or the Maaser Sheni, it's going to be retroactively designated. And therefore, since it's retroactively designated, they don't want, which is, as we say, it's Breira, and therefore, we don't want to rely on Breira. There's a big discussion, because when we speak about the Sugya of Breira, the halacha needs to decide, do we say Breira or don't we say Breira? Typically, the halacha differentiates between the Raisa and the Rabbanan. We're going to have to, that by the Raisa we don't say Breira, and by the Rabbanan we do say Breira. We're going to have to say that here we're speaking about a case which is a Raisa, and that's why we don't say Breira. Says the Gemara, Hasam, it's not, says the Gemara, it's not because ain't Breira, but says the Gemara, Hasam, Kiriktani Tame. The Gemara, the Bryce itself tells us why they don't accept Ramea's approach. Not because of Breira. Amalel Ramea, they said to Ramea, are you not concerned that you have this whole barrel? And in this barrel, there's Truma and Maisa, etc. And your expectation is that tonight you'll take out the Trumas and Maaseres. But what happens if during the court, because of Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that, as we said, it's an act of tikkun. Don't you need to be concerned that the barrel will maybe break during the course of Shabbos? And David Nimtz shows it following Mafreya. It turns out that what you drank was Tevel. So that's why we're Machmer. And how does Ramey respond? Ramey's response is L'chishibaka. I'm not worried about it. When it'll be a problem, if that happens, it's a problem. Since it's unusual to happen, I don't have to be concerned. So again, this has not been a proof that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira. So the Gemara attempts a different proof. We know that on Shabbos, the Halach is that Tchum Shabbos, that from the city, from the boundary, from the outskirts of your city, you have 2,000 Amah to walk. And afterwards, you can't walk further. It's past your Tchum Shabbos. The question that comes up is, let's say somebody wants to go more than 2,000 Amah past his city boundary. Is there a way to be able to do it? And of course, the answer is yes. Seruve Tchumim, which means is as follows. If I want to go to the east, if I want to travel to the east side of my city, what I will do is, I'll put down Erev Shabbos, Erev, at the spot where I want to travel, at the spot 2,000 Amos away from my city. And what that will accomplish, is that becomes where the Halacha views as if I'm going to be for Shabbos. And now I can walk from there 2,000 Amos. Of course, what that means is, if you put it to the east side, now you can't walk at all to the west side because you changed by putting the Erev Tchumen down, where is the place that's going to be the place where it's your place of residence from Shabbos? This person that we're speaking about, this is a Mishnah, Masechta Erevin, the Flam of Avam Abeis, knows that there's a Rav coming to one of the sides of the city. And he wants to go to the east side or to the west side. And he wants to hear the drasha that Rav is going to give. But he doesn't know is coming to the east side and to the west side. As we just finished explaining, there is no option of putting down two Erevin. Because you're kind of shvisa by putting down the Erev. That becomes your place of residence. So I suggest that you should put down two Erevin. Both can't be at the same time valid. And you should put down two Erevin and make the following Tanai. If he's going to come to the east side, my east side Erev should be effective. If he's going to come to the west side, my west side Erev should be effective. And when will that be discovered? When on Shabbos we find out to which side he came. So Yehuda Aymer, to which Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein ode mas na shnei dvarim ke'echad. You can't make that type of a tanai. Ella in bar chachal mizrach. If he comes to the mizrach, the only way you could do it is, I'm not making both and relying on retroactive designation. He makes a tanai. And he says, bar chachal mizrach, eruvi lemizrach, lemarav eruvi lemarav. But to say I'm putting down two eruvin and relying on retroactive designation, lekan, lekan, loy, that's an option. Vavinabo, and in trying to understand the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, we said, Mashna, lekan, lekan, loy, why if he put down two Erevin and then says, I'll decide on Shabbos, which I want, and Breira. So if that's the case, why in the case we put down Mizrach and Marav, and the way he said it, it's they should also be not effective because of the rule of Ein Breira from Rabbi Yochanan, to which Rabbi Yochanan responded, Kvaba Chochem. We're not referring to a situation where the Rav is only coming on Shabbos, and therefore we need to wait for Shabbos to make the Erev retroactively valid. He came before Shabbos, the Rav. And therefore, the moment he came, the halacha is the Erev became effective before Shabbos. He just didn't become aware of this. So as we approach this Gemara, the Gemara is teaching us that Breira, we don't rely on Breira. But all the Mefarshim, Rishonim, asked the obvious question. Shas is replete with the halacha of Tanoim and making stipulations, conditions. Masechta Gittin, we often speak about a case where somebody made a condition to tie the get to a condition, which the Gemara says it's a valid condition. It's valid. Why? What is the difference between a Tanai, a stipulation, which is valid, and Breira, which we're saying is not valid? So Rashi explained, the definition of Tanai is something that's in my control or somebody else's control to happen. But something which is not in my control, like here with the Chacham, is Breira, not Tanai. He says, the Ramban is more lenient. He says that it depends, even if it's an act that depends on somebody else, but it's a Tanak, that if it's only if one act happens, if this person does this, then what I make that's considered my condition has been satisfactorily satisfied. But if somebody says that if the Rav comes, then the Erev should be good, and if he doesn't come, it won't be good. So there, it would be a valid tonight. But if he's saying both sides, either Mizrach and Mariv, that's an impossibility. It makes no difference if it's me who is in control or somebody else is in control. And therefore, the halach is that the Erev is not a valid Erev. But there's another very important point, which is part of our Gemara. There is another thing called a Gilui Milsa in halacha. A Gilui Milsa is not a Tanai nor a Braira. And that's how Rashi explains our Gemara. Gili Milsa is just telling us that there's a certain situation which is in effect. And since that situation is already in effect, I just don't know about it. But since it's already in effect, that's why the halacha is that it's not considered breira. Actually, it's not even considered tonight. The achronim discuss why can't we say that we can't bring a raya from tchumim to muksa? Muksa is a derabbanan, and tchumim might be a deraisa. So we see from here, and many suggest, that even though muksa is a deraisa, but since muksa is a derabbanan, but since muksa is a very serious derabbanan, it may be equivalent to a deraisa. But clearly what we see from here, that Remeir, Rabbi Yehuda, does not subscribe to Breira. Not only do we see from here that Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to Breira, but now when we go back to the previous piece of Gemara, when we spoke in the previous piece of Gemara about the case of the wine and the Truma Meiser, and the Gemara said, well, there was a different consideration, Shemi Baka Anoid, now we don't anymore have to say that. Now we could say that the issue is not connected to Shemi Yibaka Anoid, and even the issue is connected to Breira. And I saw that the Rishonim say the way to learn that Gemara, that the reason was a combination of Breira and Shibaka Anoid. So we go back to the beginning of the Shir. Rav said, according to Yehuda, the animal that was slaughtered on Shabbos can't be eaten on Shabbos. And the Gemara wanted to know why. So where do we find that Rabbi Yehuda? Says the Gemara, Elam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda the Kalimhu. It's regarding a keli that was broken in Shabbos. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masech, the Shabbos, that Kukhav Dalar of Beis teaches us, Kol HaKelim HaNitarim B'Shabbos, any keli which can be moved on Shabbos. In other words, it's a keli that is not muksom. Shivreim Netlim. If that keli broke, we'll have to continue using that kelim. However, Ovachi Yosemei Melocha, they have to still be somewhat usable. So the Gemara explains, Shivrei Areva, if a bowl broke, L'chasba Pichavis, they have to be usable to cover a pitcher. Shivrei Zechuchis, if glass broke, they have to be usable, L'chasba Pichavis, to cover a pitcher. Rabbi Yudaimer, it's not enough that they're usable. Yehuda says, "Vavachi oisim aim melachdan." They have to be usable to what they were originally meant to do, and therefore, shivrei reva, if a bowl broke, it has to be usable. Lots of tocha mifka that we could still pour into it some food. Shivrei zchuchas, lots of tocha shema, we could pour oil in it. The reason, asked the Rishonim, why do we have to speak about, according to the Mandama, that's aim melachdan? That why do we have to explain what is a melachdom? Says Ran that the Gemara is teaching us that as long as it's usable, even though it was originally usable for a big keli, and now it's only usable for a small keli, that's acceptable. And similarly, even Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that it has to be a melachdom, it has to be usable for something that was originally usable, it's only if it's some, it doesn't have to be exactly identical, as long as it's usable in a similar fashion. Says the Gemara, Me'en Melachtim In, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is it could only be used, it's only could be moved on Shabbos if they could still be used for something similar to their original use. Me'en Melach Acheres, but if it's not similar to their original use, Loi. Alma, what is the basis, says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, kiven da lo itken me'esma l'hach melacham, since it wasn't originally designated for this type of melacham, asiri, they become muksa, even though they are usable. Hachinami, and the same thing we'll talk about the animal on Shabbos, kiven da lo itken me'esmael, since it wasn't prepared from yesterday, the halacha is will become, even though it's you, the animal, therefore the animal was not meant to be eaten on Shabbos, and therefore, even though now it was slaughtered on Shabbos, asura. Amal Abaya says, Abaya, the two cases are not the same. Mi dami. Hasam yikara kli. At the beginning, it was a full-fledged vessel. Vashta shevakli, now it's a broken keli. And that's why we have a new problem. And that is the problem of noilad. Something that wasn't in existence before Shabbos and now became in existence on Shabbos is a very high-level muksa asur. Avahochob, but when we speak about the animal, mikara ochlo, the animal is meant to be eaten, and now it's going to be eaten. All that happened here is uchla da'afris. If we would have a big challah, on Shabbos we have a smaller piece of challah, nobody would suggest that it's not, that it's muksa, but that's considered noilad, that it's a new thing. And the Gemara proves this point. That food that was taken from an original piece of food is shapadami, is not considered noilad. Because there's another Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Gimel Beis, that says, Ein soichtem as a peiris, loitz me mashkin. The loch is that we're not allowed to squeeze fruit on Shabbos to extract juice. That is included in the Meloch of Mefarik. Im yotzu me'atzmon, but if the juice came out by itself, asurim. Yehuda says it depends. Because Chazal made Xera, Chazal were concerned that you may come to squeeze those fruits on Shabbos. Rabbi Yudaimer, it depends on what type of fruit we're speaking about. Im lo'ichlim, if we have a fruit that's meant to be eaten, then the aloch is a yotzmeh mutter. We don't have a reason to make Xera that you may be going to squeeze, because they're not meant to be squeezed. They're not fruits that are meant to be squeezed. Vim lamashkin, but if these are fruits that are meant to be squeezed for juice, Rabbi Yehuda will agree that asurim ayotzman asur, because we need to be concerned that you may come to squeeze on Shabbos. So, but what do we see here? Says the Gemara. That Rabbi Yehuda says that juice that came out from a fruit on Shabbos in a situation where we need not be concerned of shema yischot, it's mutter, and it's not considered a situation of noilad. Because it's considered ochla defris. And the same thing suggests the Gemara will be the halacha of the behema. Since before Shabbos it was called an oichel, even though it changed on Shabbos, before Shabbos was alive, now it's dead, it's still considered just a continuation of being an oichel. But says the Gemara, lav itmalo, have we not learned, Amar Yehuda Mishmul, that if somebody has olives and grapes, even though this person was not intending to squeeze them for juice, since most people do squeeze those fruits for juice, there's a concern that shemi yischot. And therefore, we're not allowed to drink those liquids. Alma, kiven de l'schita kaimi, since these things are meant to be squeezed, Yavadate, he intends to squeeze them. And that's why Rabbi Yehuda will agree that in such a situation, there is room for gzera of Shema Yisrael. So says the Gemara, Hachinami, by the case of an animal, Kivin de l'shchita kaimi, since an animal was meant to be eaten, and Shabbos, you didn't intend to eat this, Yavadate, that his intention is that if it gets slaughtered, I will eat it. And therefore, there should be a gzeira of Shema Yishchot. Says the Gemara, Midu Tamal Rav. Who are we trying to explain? Rav is the one that said that our Mishnah doesn't follow Rabbi Yehuda. From Rav, Cholak Rabbi Yehuda, Afilu Salazay Sivanovim. And he says that the juice that comes out is mutter. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that we apply the concept of the Ochl Deifris in a much broader sense. And we don't say Shema Yishchot. So therefore, in our Mishnah also, he shouldn't say Shema Yishchot. Ela Amar Rav Shesh Brei Davidi, again, trying to identify which is the Rabbi Yehuda that can't be consistent with what we learned in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda the Neresi. The Tanya Metafl Ner Chadosh. We're allowed to move a candlestick that was never used before on Shabbos, because it's not me's. Avil Yoshon, one that was used, so becomes very repugnant, and it's Muksamachas Mias. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Says Rabbi Yehuda, something that I didn't intend to use on Shabbos. It's something I took out of my head. And therefore on Shabbos, therefore it's Muksa. And therefore the same thing, when I have a live animal before Shabbos, where of course the halacha tells us we're not allowed to shech that animal on Shabbos, I took out that animal from my mind, and therefore it's Muksa. Ask the Gemara, Emma, the Shamed Le Rabbi Yehuda, where did Rabbi Yehuda apply this concept, the Muksa Machmas Mias? But here we're not talking about Muksa Machmas Mias. Here we're talking about when we speak about an animal, and why is an animal Muksa? It's Muksa Machmas Isser, because you're not allowed to do Shechita. Do we see that Rabbi Yehuda applies that concept there as well? It says Ma in. The Tanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Mekol Nerish Shematchas, Madlikin, Metatlin, they're not, even if they were used, we're allowed to move them on Shabbos because they don't become Mias. But the candle that was used on Shabbos, it's Muksa Machmas Isser. And Yehuda holds that once it's Muksa Machmas Isser at the beginning of Shabbos, it's Muksa for an entire Shabbos because you're not allowed to move the candle when it's lit because you may come to extinguish it. So shouldn't that be a raya to the animal as well? That the animal is Muksa Machmas Isser. I'm not allowed to, as we keep on repeating, I'm not allowed to shecht it on Shabbos. And since I'm not allowed to shecht it on Shabbos, it becomes Muksa as Shabbos begins. And once it becomes Muksa as Shabbos begins, Rabbi Yehuda holds, it's Muksa no matter what happens to it on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, it's not a good comparison. When you lit a candle on Shabbos and made it into Muksa Machmas Isser, it was because of your act of lighting that candle. And that's why it's Muksa to the degree, Rabbi Yehuda says, it's a very strong Muksa. Here, yes, it was Muksa Machmas Isser because I'm not allowed to shecht an animal on Shabbos, but it didn't involve me doing anything to make a Muksa. I didn't make Muksa, it's Muksa because a live animal, I can't shecht on Shabbos. And given that that's the situation, it's not comparable. So what happened is the Gemara has tried to explain when Rav said that Amish doesn't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara has extensively tried to say it's based on Hilchas Muksa, but that isn't the reason why Amish can't follow the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara is going to attempt a whole different approach.